Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. China Cultural and Creative Industries Reports 2013 is an edited scholarly reference on the development of cultural and creative industries in the People's Republic of China during the early 2010s. Edited by Hardiyang Xiang and Patricia Walker, and published in the Understanding China series. The volume gathers research reports and critical perspectives associated with the Institute for Cultural Industries at Peking University. Its purpose is not to present a single theory of creativity, but to map the structure, policy environment, and market movement of multiple sectors, including advertising, architecture, art and antiques, computer games, crafts, design, fashion, film and video, music, performing arts, publishing, software, television, radio, and digital media. The book is best understood as a cross-sector research compendium for readers who need organized information about how China was positioning culture as both an economic resource and a strategic component of national development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, sector-by-sector mapping of China cultural and creative economy. A central feature of China Cultural and Creative Industries Report 2013 is its industry-by-industry structure. Rather than treating cultural and creative industries as one broad category, the book separates fields such as film, publishing, advertising, online media, games, design, performing arts, and broadcasting. This matters because each sector has a different relationship to regulation, technology, capital, distribution, and audience behavior. Film and television depend heavily on licensing, production systems, and public cultural policy, while online new media and games are shaped more directly by platform growth, digital payment systems, and user scale. Design and fashion rely on branding, intellectual property, and links to manufacturing. By organizing the subject through sectors, the volume avoids a common weakness in creative economy writing, where cultural industries are described as a single rising trend. Its approach makes visible the unevenness of development inside China's creative economy. Some industries were already highly commercialized, while others remained dependent on public institutions, subsidies, or state-guided cultural planning. National cultural strategy as a driver of industrial development. The book places China cultural and creative industries within the broader framework of national cultural strategy. Around the period covered by the reports, cultural industries were increasingly viewed in China as part of economic restructuring, soft power building, urban development, and the modernization of public culture. The volume reflects this policy context by treating culture not only as artistic expression, but also as an organized field of production, management, investment, and governance. This perspective helps explain why the Chinese case differs from market-led creative economy models associated with some Western countries. In China, many cultural sectors develop through a combination of commercial expansion and policy direction, including industrial parks, public funding, institutional reform, export ambitions, and regulatory oversight. The book is useful because it shows that growth in these industries cannot be understood only through consumer demand or entrepreneurial activity. Policy frameworks shape what can be produced, how companies scale, which sectors receive support, and how cultural value is connected to national development goals. Thirdly, use of compact market data for investors, researchers, and institutions. Another important contribution of the volume is its attempt to provide compact, usable information for readers who need facts about specific industries. The book is positioned as a resource for investors, companies, scholars, government departments, and students seeking an informed view of the Chinese market. Its reports draw attention to industry scale, development trends, institutional conditions, and emerging opportunities. Although readers should remember that the data belong to a fast-moving period and require updating for present-day decisions, the value of this format is practical. A researcher can compare sectors, a policymaker can identify structural bottlenecks, and a company can gain a preliminary sense of where growth and constraints were concentrated. The book also reflects the challenge of studying China creative industries. Reliable English language overviews have often been fragmented across policy documents, academic articles, and market reports. By collecting sector reports in one volume, it reduces that fragmentation and provides a baseline for understanding the state of the field in the early 2010s. Fourthly, digital media, online platforms, and the transformation of cultural production. The inclusion of online new media, digital publishing, software, games, television, radio, and related platform-based sectors gives the book particular relevance to the transition from traditional cultural production to digitally mediated cultural markets. The early 2010s were a period in which internet use, e-commerce, online video, mobile services, and digital entertainment were rapidly changing how Chinese audiences access cultural content. The reports recognize that digital media were not merely another sector beside film or publishing. They were beginning to alter distribution channels, revenue models, audience measurement, advertising practices, and the relationship between producers and users. This makes the book valuable as a historical snapshot of a turning point. It captures the moment when cultural industries were becoming inseparable from technology infrastructure and platform economies. At the same time, the Chinese context adds complexity because digital expansion operated alongside content regulation, state media reform, and a national interest in building competitive domestic cultural enterprises. Lastly, strengths and limits of a 2013 snapshot of a fast-moving field. The book stands out for its breadth and institutional knowledge, but its time-bounded nature is also important. Because China cultural and creative industries have changed rapidly since 2013, the volume should not be read as a current market guide without supplementary sources. Digital platforms, streaming models, online gaming regulation, intellectual property enforcement, international cultural trade, and consumer behavior have all shifted substantially. Its lasting value is therefore historical and analytical rather than purely predictive. It documents how the field was being conceptualized at a moment often described as a golden age for China cultural and creative industries when optimism about growth, policy support, and commercialization was especially visible. This gives readers a benchmark for comparing later developments. The limitation is not a flaw so much as a condition of the genre. Annual or period-specific industry reports inevitably age, but they preserve the assumptions, categories, and priorities of their moment. For researchers, that makes the book useful evidence of how China's creative economy was framed in the early 2010s. In conclusion, China Cultural and Creative Industries Reports 2013 is most suitable for scholars of cultural policy, creative economy, media industries, China studies, and cultural management. It will also be useful to students, policy analysts, and industry professionals who want a structured introduction to how China cultural and creative sectors were organized during a crucial phase of expansion. Its practical benefit lies in its sector-based layout, which allows readers to move from broad national strategy to specific industries such as online media, publishing, film, broadcasting, games, design, and performing arts. Its intellectual benefit is that it shows the Chinese creative economy as a policy-shaped, institutionally complex, and technologically evolving field rather than a simple story of market growth. Compared with more general books on the global creative economy, this volume stands out because it is China-focused, report-driven, and closely connected to research networks at Peking University. Compared with narrow studies of one medium, it offers comparative breadth across many cultural sectors. Readers should treat it as a historically grounded reference rather than a current market forecast, but that is also its strength. It captures the categories, priorities, and expectations surrounding China cultural industries at a particular moment, making it valuable for understanding both policy ambition and sector development. If you would like to support Hardy Yang Xiang, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.